Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
That's it?
Boom. That was the best conversation that Junior and I have ever had.
Jay didn't say anything.
So our son is having sex. Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys?
I'm not going to come down hard on him just because he's getting it in.
You might be right, Jay. Boys will be boys.
Mm-hmm.
And girls will be girls.
That's a little something from the hit sitcom Black-ish. To help us start off part one of our parenting series tonight, we're focusing on our children. What do you tell them about sex and when? It's a social issues landscape littered with all kinds of landmines. You could say the wrong thing at the wrong time and create an explosion of confusion and misunderstanding for your child. Well, joining me to help navigate this topic are Dr. Jerry Dyson, a physician specializing in adolescent and young adult medicine. Also, Dr. William Flip Clay, school counselor in the Maryland Public School System. Lines are open. And we definitely want to hear from parents tonight. When do you talk to your children about sex? What do you tell them? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Dyson, Dr. Clay, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you, Harold.
Okay, so when should you first speak to your children about sex, and what should you say, ladies first, Dr. Dyson?
Okay. Well, it's a myriad of things you want to say, but the main thing you want to do is make certain that the lines of communication are open. Many people wait until their child is 17, 18, on their way to college before they start having...
Wed night.
Right. Well, you know.
In some cases, I'm sure
most people don't wait that long, hopefully. But the majority of parents feel the best time to talk to their child is when they perceive that that child is going to start having sex, which is their teen years. But for a lot of them, they've done some form of experimentation before some of the parents even talk to them. So you want to, my advice is to talk to your child consistently and early.
What's
now,
early?
You may not necessarily start talking about sex, like the actual mechanics of sex, to a 5 or 6 year old. It can start out simple things about your body parts, knowing the proper names of your body parts. Not pocketbook, not purse string, not
coochie goo.
Yeah, but JJ. I mean, so many names that we have for our body parts. So that would be our first conversation. And then as the child matures, they'll feel more comfortable communicating with you because this is just like we're talking about taking your asthma medicine. That's how we talk about sex. So the more relaxed we as the parents are, because what I'm noticing is that the kids don't have the issues. It's the parents who have many of their issues. And they believe that the earlier we start talking about sex, parents believe that their child is going to start experimenting just because you had the conversation. And that's not always the case.
Is it different for girls when compared to boys?
I wouldn't say it's a difference. I mean, I think it goes back to the parenting piece, what Dr. Dyson was basically stating. Because, I mean, if the parents are really focused on having this conversation with their children, and you build that relationship and you build that rapport, it shouldn't be an issue of male versus female.
Mm-hmm.
Based on my experience working in the school system and on the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the relationship and the rapport and the communication that plays a vital role and what they're exposed to also. Mm-hmm. I can recall a situation when I was an elementary school counselor. The mother was a dentist. The father was a dentist, stay-home mother. And the little boy was painting a snowman. And he put some snow on the breast of the snowman and found out they had two girlfriends in the classroom. Upon speaking with this individual, he pretty much told me that when he was small, his mom used to take showers with him, and they used to watch these funny movies. And that triggered the snowflakes on the breast of the snowman.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to the environment. Mm-hmm. We're basically talking about social learning theory. what the child is exposed to, that's what they're going to act. That's how they're going to act.
Mm.
And speaking of exposure and something that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Dyson, should we be surprised at what children learn and are exposed to early?
I don't think we should be surprised, but I think many parents are surprised because the assumption from an adult's perspective is, oh, they don't understand what's really going on. I remember when I was a child, different people, adults, having conversations around me with the assumption, oh, she doesn't know what's going on. And adults, they predominantly do that with their children or the kids who are around them. So we listen to songs on the radio. We watch commercials that are infiltrated, infused, dipped down, marinated in sex and say, oh, they won't get it. They'll just think it's about shampoo. The kid actually will be able to pick up on innuendos like we as adults do. Now, they're not in every case. There are some cases where it's so subliminal that the kids won't get it. But we have to be conscious of what we're doing and what we're exposing our children to.
Absolutely.
So how do you talk to children about those subliminal things? For example, those shampoo commercials. And I remember one many years ago where there was a woman. She was shampooing and was making these very, very suggestive sounds.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that may not mean anything to a child, but eventually in the days or weeks or months to come, they may see something else that may be more overtly sexual and put the two together. How do you have a conversation with them about the questions that they begin to ask?
I would say the universal language of music.
What do you mean?
Music. If most kids today are listening to have headphones on and they're listening to music, if the parents are listening to some of the same music that they're listening to, you utilize those lyrics to facilitate the communication in reference to things relating to sex. Even with music videos, if you're sitting there with your child and you're watching a video, you can have dialogue on the video, who, what, when, where, and why. How does that relate to sex? What are you taking from this video? How does this apply to sex? Because you want to facilitate the communication between the parent and the child.
But to your point, there may be a difference between talking about the physiology of sex and sexuality. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the issues that come up in pop culture, whether it's music or movies, don't necessarily relate to sex as a physiological or human function, but these things may reference everything from romantic love to misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And so what do you say to a child who perhaps is 7 years old or 8 years old and perhaps sees Cardi B describing in very vivid detail some of the skills that she purports to have? What do you do about that?
Sometimes you have to take it from the 7-year-old's perspective. Like, we're watching a video, we're going to see one thing. The 7-year-old is going to see something else. So you open that dialogue like, well, what do you think Cardi B is talking about? And you have to make it so natural, because if you become rigid in your conversation, the kid is going to close down and become rigid. Just make it seem like, what is Cardi talking about in that? Just make it seem like you're being taught by the 7-year-old or the 8-year-old or the 10-year-old. Because they love to teach us about new things. And so, hey, what are you saying? What is she talking about? Such and such and such. And then that way you open the door and you move the dialogue based on that. But to reiterate what you were saying about sex, the physiology of the act of sex, then sexuality, then all the nuances and different ideas and spirituality, is so many levels of sex and sexuality that even adults aren't really having the conversation about, which goes to show there is not a one conversation and we're done. Like, yep, we had to talk, like the beginning on the Blackish, how is it? Yep, boys will be boys, girls will be girls, and that's the end of it. We're done. No.
We're just beginning.
Just starting.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the first of a three-part series on parenting. Tonight we are talking about sex and your children. How do you talk to them about sex? What do you say to them? When is it appropriate, or what is appropriate to say to your children at various and sundry stages in their lives? Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are a parent, we would like to hear about your experiences with talking to your children about sex. Glenn, calling from Waldorf, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking my call. Thank you to your guest. I've raised five children. I'm four in Southeast, where I grew up at. My girlfriend and I got together at 13. She told me she wasn't interested in having sex. We didn't have sex until 18. And so I told my sons to, when they were about, I guess about eight, look, you know, y'all coming of age and you're going to be wanting to know about sex. When you want to know about sex, you come and talk to dad, okay? But I told my girls something totally different. I told them, say, this world is a prejudiced place. I told them about their father and mother's relationship. I said how I waited, and if a guy really wants to, he's interested in you, he'll wait just like your dad waited for your mother.
So, Glenn, let me stop you right there, because that's a question that I asked in the beginning of this conversation. Why did you give your sons different information? Because it seems to me, you said, well, this world is a prejudiced place. But it seems to me that that was kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you gave your boys different information than you gave to the girls.
Because the boys are different from the girls. This world makes it plain that the men can get away with whatever they want to get away with. But like I told my daughter, if you go out here and be promiscuous and have sex all the time, you're going to get a reputation. And by the time you get up in college, you meet a nice guy. Next thing you know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia is a small place. Okay, they talk about this girl, this wonderful girl they done found, to their buddies. And the next thing you know, their buddies will say, oh, you talking about her? She from Southeast. Oh, man, she's this, that, and the other.
But did you tell your boys that it was okay for them to have sex when you told the girls not to?
I told them about the relationship that me and their mother had. That was the most important thing I told them.
Okay, let me see what my panel has to say about that. Glenn, thank you so very, very much. I want to start with you, Dr. Clay, please. Your thoughts about that. Because that's the question that I asked you in the very beginning. Are things different? And this is why this question is so important. Earlier in the conversation, Dr. Dyson said that the parents will color or shade or impress upon children their own individual feelings, prejudices, fears about sex. And that's what it seems to me that, you know, Glenn is scaring the girls, but giving the boys the, you know,
free will. Right. And it seems to me he was feeding into society's perception.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, he's telling his son one thing, but he's telling his daughter the other thing. And he's telling his daughter that if she end up participating and sleeping with several men, she's going to be labeled as this individual.
Or one man.
But her, in other words, but his son, the son is fine to go out here and do what he wants to do, and there's no issue involved.
What's the danger in that?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I knew that was the purpose of you asking that question initially when you made it. Why do we have different conversations based on the sex of the child or based on the gender of the child? And what that does is it actually lends itself to double messaging, because then the kids go back and talk to each other. And it also lends itself to animosity. So from a daughter talking to her dad who just told her brother, this is how you put on a condom, versus you stay a virgin and chase until you find the right man and get married, it creates a barrier that we're not even thinking about, because it's like, oh, you're going to tell him to put on condoms, but And in some cases, the daughter may be older than the brother who's getting the conversation Correct. About condoms. So what that does is it automatically creates a barrier where I'm not even going to come talk to you. And then if you have a two-parent household, you want to have it where the conversation is going from the father to the son and also the mother to the son. Because that's why we have two-parent households, because your perspective to the son is going to be different from my perspective right. to the son. I'm giving him skills on how to treat a woman, what is appropriate, how you even approach a woman from an emotional aspect. He's giving the son manly skills that you all talk Correct. Outside of condoms. I'm not even talking about the mechanics of sex. So that's why it's important for every parent in the household, aunts, sometimes grandparents, family members that we trust to Correct. Even have those meaningful conversations with our kids.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is the first installment of a three-part series on parenting tonight. We're talking about sex and your children. What do you say to them? When do you say it? How do you talk to them about this very critical issue? If you were on the line, Red calling from Columbia, Laverne calling from Maryland, Tanya calling from Maryland, do not hang up the phone. You will be able to hear the program, and we're going to be taking your phone calls next. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your calls at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about sex and your children. When should parents start talking to their children about it, and what should they say? My guests are Dr. Jerry Dyson, a physician specializing in adolescent and young adult medicine, and Dr. William Flip Clay, a school counselor in the Maryland Public School System. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tanya, calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
I have, good evening, first of all.
Hi, go ahead. I have
a set of twin boys that are, they just turned 14, and they're very verbally expressive. They talk to me about whatever is on their mind and whatever they discuss on the bus. And the last set of questions was, well, Mom, what exactly are friends with benefits? What does that involve? What do you do? What do I do? What do I say to that?
What did you say?
I said, you know, what were you guys talking about? What was involved in the conversation? Because I needed to know where they were coming from. And they were talking about having girlfriends, but having multiple girlfriends, and you do different things with multiple girlfriends. And I said, well, what does doing different things mean? What is that? What is that? Well, Ma, I'm not ready, one son. I'm not really ready to have sex because I don't want to have a baby. But, you know, we finding out about girls, Mom. So you just find out about different girls.
Did you give them any information?
Not really. Not about this. We've had other conversations where they've been, my children ask, what exactly is oral sex? What does that entail?
So here's my question, Tanya, before I go to the panel. I can see that you were somewhat flustered. By this. But they've asked about oral sex, they've asked about friends with benefits, and probably a plethora of other things. Have you given them any information at all?
Yes. We have talked about the act, and part of that came about because I have very inquisitive children who have one son who's the king of Google. So if he has a question, he'll go to Google, and then he'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Let me start with Dr. Dyson, mm-hmm. because this is exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not a stretch to say that she says she has very inquisitive sons. Everybody's child right. is inquisitive when it comes to these things.
Mm-hmm. That is the culture that we're living in now, where kids have access to just get online, YouTube something. So, Tanya, my advice to you, because they are coming to you early and they're coming to you repeatedly, is for you to really dive in and begin having a conversation and continue to have the conversation. And let it be a part of your everyday where you're like, okay, so what y'all talk about on the bus today? What happened? Because what I may be hearing, now you stop me if I'm wrong, but what I may be hearing is that your sons may be getting some pressure from the girls who are around them. So, that happens a lot of times when boys look a certain way, or if they're athletes, or if girls see some type of potential in them that would make the girl's status come up. They have a tendency to pressure boys into things like, oh, well, you don't have to do that, or you don't necessarily have to call me your girlfriend. We could just do this, that, and the other. So you really need to, now is a key time, especially since you have twin boys, they're 14, you can kind of bounce it off of each other, have a conversation, just make it playful. Just don't stress it out, because I really do hear you holding your breath when it comes to a lot of stuff. Even as you're answering Harold, you're like, oh my God, I don't really know what I'm doing. But you're going to do fine. It's like, no right or wrong thing to do. Just make sure that stuff that you are not clear about, maybe you can look it up, or even ask counselors in your area, like Dr. Clay, or if you have a family physician. Just have the conversation with somebody first before you go to them. But you need to consistently start having conversations, because they're coming to you, which means they trust you.
We talk daily, and I do ask, well, what happened today? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or little things that, you know, they have. My son tells me they have conferences and I'm not allowed, but of course I hear.
Mm-hmm. Who has conferences?
My sons.
They have conferences among themselves. I see.
Yes. And when they have conferences, I'm not supposed to be in the room, but of course I'm lurking nearby. But and when they do this, they come out and we talk, and they'll ask, and I try to be as open and honest as possible, but I don't want to, for lack of a better term, OD on the details in talking with them, but I don't want them to be naive to what's really going on.
Let me see what Dr. Clay has to say about that, because I think that's the next point. And I don't want to speak for you, Tanya, but it sounds to me like if you give them too much information in there, then they're going to want to find out more. Some people would argue if you don't give them enough, they're going to Google everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Tanya, I would highly recommend utilizing these five words: who, what, when, where, and why. When you're having these conversations with your two boys relating to sex, start off with the question: who, what, when, where, and why. Because they're at the age of 14, they're going through a lot of emotional changes.
I think physical changes.
7th to 8th grade, correct? If I'm.
Yes, they're graduating this year, yes.
Right, so they're going from middle school into high school? Correct. So there's a lot of emotional changes going on within themselves. So they're battling and struggling. That's why one of your sons, he's probably more interested in females, and the other young man is like, well, you know, I'm chilling, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think who, what, when, where, and why. Anytime you're having a conversation with young boys or young men,
mm-hmm.
who, what, when, where, and why, and how does that relate to sex?
Mm-hmm. And I also want to encourage you to pull in a trusted male that can talk to them, because they're having man cave conversations. Yeah. And sometimes men just don't. I don't care how much you think you know. Men do not want to talk to women about certain things. So get a trusted male. Yeah.
And these aren't men.
Right.
These are still boys.
But in their minds, they're like,
yeah, so
the testosterone. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Hang in there, Tanya. Good luck. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Laverne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Laverne. What's on your mind?
Hi. How are you doing? Thank you so much.
Sure.
Look, at 18 months when my son was in daycare, he came home naming specific correct names for the body parts. Penis, anus was the song he was singing. So I didn't change his mind from that. I wanted him to learn the specific names, and I was telling my friends about it at work. Oh, no, we have this name, we have that name. So I said, teach him once. Let him learn it correctly the first time. But then as he got older, at 10, when his dad and I split, I decided I would have a meeting with him once a month and let him tell me anything that was going on with him, whatever it was, with no threat of punishment. We discussed body parts, we discussed sex, the condoms, all of that. And then one day at 15, he said, I was taking him home, Mommy, just tell me how that big old bird and that little old bee got together.
The big old bird and what?
The little old bee.
And the little D.
You know, like when they do the birds and the bees and
stuff. Oh, birds and bees. Yeah. I see. Okay, go right ahead.
How did that big old bird and that little bee get together? I said they didn't. So I explained everything to him using specific information. And then when his dad found out I was teaching him the body parts at 10, he called the penis a tomahawk. I said, he's no Indian.
Interesting.
Okay, so I said, anytime you want to know something specifically, come and ask your mama.
I
said, because I don't want you to grow up learning all these crazy terms that don't even match. And then it got to the point where he and his friends, it was four of them, they would have little meetings and discuss different things. He'd come back and he'd tell me, what do you think about it? Three would go together and agree. You had one that was different.
I see.
But he turned out to be a nice young man still.
Okay. Thank you for that, Laverne. Your thoughts about that, one of the reasons why she's not with him anymore, because he's calling body parts tomahawks, which is just, you don't do that.
She's laughing, I hear.
Yeah. But your thoughts about that, Dr. Tyson?
Well, I had a question about one thing. If you go back in the past, it kind of made my eyebrow go up a little bit. The penis anus song at 18 months. Did you teach him that or somebody at the school taught?
No, in the daycare, because he started daycare at 3 months.
So they cleared that with you all first to make sure?
No, they didn't clear it. He came home saying it. I didn't have a problem with it because I would have taught him the correct names anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, I think that's a really interesting point, an important point, because both of you have been saying that you need a qualified, trusted adult when you're trying to educate children of all ages about these things, and you were not cleared. It certainly hats off for you for being open-minded, but I would still question this kind of information being passed on to my child.
I did ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did ask which one had taught him that, and he gave me the person's name at the school. But because I knew he would eventually have to learn that, and I would teach him that, I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
I didn't have a problem with it because I figured if you teach them the correct way the first time and they learn it correctly the first time, they don't have to come back and change the name. Well, and then they want to know, well, why were you calling it this?
Laverne, certainly something to think about. Thank you so much. Red calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Red. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Harold, I want to say thank you for allowing me to speak on Howard University Radio, the Harvard of the Mid-Atlantic. And I have 3 points, the first of which is that we really need to start teaching our children from conception in the womb. You know, you read to your children when they're in the womb, you sing, you dance, and we need to instill in our children the proper values from the infant stage.
Okay.
Talking to them constantly. As their awareness grows and they gain more comprehension, then we can get into further details. But the second point is that when I grew up, it was do as I say, not as I do. And then that sort of morphed with I'm a Generation Nexter. I'm also a public school teacher, part-time public school teacher. The morphing went to I have to lead by example. So I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to do something that I don't want my children doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to have a reflective context because there's a time and a place. And I think we need to start being realistic, not only in our expectations, but we also have to set the precedent. And we have to draw the line in terms of distinction. So, okay, you're not going to be, I don't want you to be intimate under my roof. I want you to learn how to cultivate yourself as a man or as a young lady to be able to provide for yourself And that means putting things off until later in life.
And let me stop you there, Rhett, because we do have other calls, but you make an excellent point there, and I want Dr. Clay to talk about that, because that goes back to the issue of sex versus sexuality. And from whether we're talking about the mechanics to sexuality, intimacy, and emotions. So let's move beyond the 8-year-olds, the 10-year-olds, the 14-year-olds. Now you're talking about, for example, teenagers who very, very well, if they're not sexually active, are standing at the precipice of that. How do you have those conversations with them about that when you got hormones bouncing all over the place and puppy love and all of that other stuff? How do you address that?
I think as parents, I would highly recommend that they're truthful with themselves and very transparent about some of the obstacles and challenges they face growing up. Because children, when they get to when young, I would consider themselves young adults. Mm-hmm. When they get to that point, they're looking for you to be transparent and truthful. And I think if you can share with them real life stories of things that might have happened to yourself or individuals in the family, it breaks the ice, per se, to have those tough conversations. And with so much going on today in social media, I don't even think it's a hard conversation to have when they get to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they listen to music, sex.
Unless you've not spoken to them about it prior to.
Prior. Then it's a tough conversation. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to revert back to what I talked about earlier about the power of videos and music. Because if you're riding in the car, you're listening to music. The students have headphones on. And there's not a current song, there's an old song with some type of lyric that's referencing sex. And that could facilitate that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And a prime example is a video on Mary J. Blige called Runaway Love. And it's an excellent song to start that conversation. I mean, you had Kumo D, Go See the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old rap song I remember growing up. Talked about STDs, catching STDs, having sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think music is so powerful today that parents could use that as a tool to break that ice.
Interesting point. Red, thank you so much. One of the things that I did want to talk about, because we know this happens a lot, particularly when you have two-parent households. What do you tell a child, let's say a younger child, if they stumble upon you and mommy having sex, what do you say about that? How do you address that? If you're talking about let's go back to a younger child, perhaps a 7-year-old, and the door is not locked and they walk in and it looks like daddy's abusing mommy or mommy's abusing daddy or something like that. And that's all I want to say. But what do you say about that, Doc?
It depends on the situation. And I'm sitting here laughing because I have a set of friends. Their daughter is much older now, but she was 7 at the time and she actually picked their bedroom lock.
That's another show. That's another conversation.
It was hilarious.
Right there.
She picked the bedroom lock, and when she opened the door, all the parents in the middle of making love could hear was her little voice going, ugh! So everybody, all 3 of them, after she got over her shock, they started laughing. And then she started laughing. And then they had a conversation later. But that you also
what's that conversation like?
Their conversation for that daughter entailed that they were, this is something that mommy and I do. This is what we call making love. She was 7, so they had to bring it down to her age. It's an expression, this is how you got here. And so then it talks into, are you trying to get other kids here? So it just turned into a whole bunch of stuff. But it was awkward at the moment. But it just depends on your child. It depends on the relationship you have with them already. But that's just normal. They're going to see that. And depending on how old the child is, because if they're a certain age, they may see it as, oh my God, this is just gross. It depends on the age of the child, because an older kid may walk in and see that and be like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to talk about this. Y'all keep trying to talk about it. I want to have this conversation.
But see, then this moves from the home to the purview of the school system, because mm-hmm. that little girl then ends up having to have a conversation with Dr. Clay because she's talking to the girls on the playground or in class about all of that, what she saw.
And I have a story to share. 7-year-old mother and father.
Those boy, 7-year-olds.
Same 7-year-old.
The little girl.
Picking locks and the whole bit. Yeah.
But the mother was going through divorce. And the little girl, you know, I was working with the little girl. And she walked into my office one day. And she said, Dr. Clay, my uncle came over to the house last night. And
Your uncle?
Mm. I said, I know what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm just listening. So she said, and every time my uncle come on my house, my mommy put on these magic pajamas. And
they magic pajamas.
And they go in the bedroom and they make these funny noises. And I wish she would stop making these noises because I can't sleep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she woke up and went to, she said, I went to the door and it was getting louder and louder. And I just put my head down, but she always putting on those magic pajamas and he just loved coming over. So Ma walked into my office the next day and I just kind of like share with her that, you know, you need to be very careful what you do in front of your kids.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's the best advice. Yeah. Not only what you say to them,
mm-hmm.
if they are picking your lock
right.
and spying on mm-hmm. you, but also what you do, whether right. it's parents or boyfriends or girlfriends, you know, particularly parents that are single.
Right.
Male or female. And, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Something definitely you should consider. Let us talk to Sharon. Sharon calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Sharon from D.C. I just wanted to say, I think the conversation should be the same between a girl and a boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. I was really blatant and just open with my kids. My daughter was 7 years older than my son. I had the same talk I had with her I had with my son. And when I had to talk with my son, he went to his sister and go, oh, you my mom, you know what mommy told me? She said, yeah, you want to know what she told me? Basically, I told them sex is sex. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Because growing up, they would say, oh, this person is doing it. And I say, doing what? They doing it. Doing what? And I say, you mean having sex? They would say, yeah. I say, well, then say sex. I said, you know what? Sex is so overrated. And I would tell my daughter and my son, if you're going to have sex with somebody, make sure you protect yourself. Make sure that person cares about you. Because when you have sex with somebody, you're bearing your all. I told my daughter and my son, you don't want to sleep with anybody that don't care about you, don't love you, and don't use protection. I said, because it's not so much of getting a reputation, but you have to have self-respect. I told my, at the age of 13, I told both of my kids about their body. I didn't use any nicknames. It was just the penis, the vagina, your breast, your arm, your leg. I kept it real. 100. And both of my kids waited to have kids later in life. The thing about it is that I remember growing up when I had sex education in sixth grade. I went home and I asked my mom a question, and she was so embarrassed. And then I came back and asked her a question like another week later because I heard my brother and his boys talking about oral sex. I went home and asked my mother. She looked at me like, where in the heck are you getting mm-hmm. these questions from?
Clutch the pearls.
She never answered my questions, never. So I found out through peer pressure and friends, but I found out the incorrect answer.
I see.
So as I got older, I said, you know what? I'm going to keep it 100 with my kids growing up because if you don't give them the right information, they're going to find out incorrect from the wrong person.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your honesty, and I hope that you continue to have this healthy relationship with your children, even as they are adults. So I appreciate your candid answer. Let's go to, I believe it's Aline calling from Silver Spring. Is that correct?
That is correct. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
Great. I agree with the last caller, Sharon. You have to be very honest with your children. I was a single parent, so I didn't want my son to learn anything outside of the home. I wanted the correct information to come from the source of his upbringing, his nurturing, me. So I made sure he had it. And I answered questions as he presented them to me. And yes, the questions surprised me because you don't know what external forces are coming at him at any age. But if you're right there with them, you can see things changing. And like one caller said, I talked to my son. We had driving lectures every day. Whenever I picked him up, we talked about something. And it wasn't sex. But I did tell him when the sex conversation came up, because the first time he asked me was, Mom, what's a condom? So I took one out of my drawer. I took it out the packet. I shook it, and I said, this is a condom. And his cousin was sitting there, who's a girl, and I said, this is a condom. And he said, I'm not big enough to fit that. I said, exactly. And until you can fit it, you don't have sex. And that was it. So it was cute, but I told him, I said, one, you're not emotionally ready, because there's an emotional side to this. And the emotional side is not just you, it's the other person, too, because they're telling you this and telling you that. I want you to get an education. You have plenty of time to do this. And if you choose to do it, as many callers say, protect yourself. If you need something, tell me. If you need to go, let me know. So being honest and upfront with them helps. When okay. he got to college, he would call me at 2 o'clock in the morning with his boys behind him saying, Ma, tell us this. I said, tell you what?
Oh, my.
I said, okay. Yeah. You know, I said, you all sitting down? Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, your mama's so cool. I said, are you ready to do that? Go get some dental dams, da-da-da-da-da. You got to know how to do this. Do it right.
Okay. And, well, Aline, thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. Send you the ready. Cool Mom Award.
Yes. Aline is the winner.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. You know, and all jokes aside, I think that last point, because eventually the babies will become children, the children will become adolescents, and those adolescents will grow up to become young adults and the like. But even at that stage, because we are talking about parenting, and no matter what your age, parenting really never stops. Mm-hmm. When you're sending your children off to college, what kind of conversations do you really need to have with them then? Because I think that it really changes, as mm-hmm. Aline said.
Yeah, because they're becoming more independent if they're going to college, some of them. Some of them in high school are very independent. But that conversation becomes more about the emotions of sex. I always talk about emotions. We always use intimacy to define that as sex, but it's more. It's how are you feeling about this person? How does this person make you feel? In college, you definitely want to talk about the possibility of date rape, the possibility of pressure, of consensual sex. What is consent? What does that look like? And also for my girls, this is one conversation I definitely make sure that I have with them is about experimentation with alcohol, drugs. Because if you are drunk or inebriated or buzzed or not yourself, you are more likely to be violated in some way or another. Mm-hmm. So I talk about that. I talk about parties. I talk about house parties, how to be safe, how to use the buddy system when you're together, how to, you know, if you have a buddy, we all go to the bathroom together. We do everything together. So that conversation is a little more broad than just sex. Here's a condom. This is how you use a condom. And I also teach, when I was seeing patients, I also taught every female patient that I had. I always taught the males, but I taught the females, too, how to use condoms. And then I would have them put the condom on a banana in the dark. They were like, this doctor is crazy. Yes, because if you're in that situation, more than likely, it might not be light, because most kids are having sex and there's so much shame associated with it that it's in a back alley, not necessarily back alley, but in a car, somewhere that is going to be dark and private and secluded. So those are the things that I go through. How to use a dental dam. What is a dental dam? How to use a vaginal condom. Where do you even get these from? How to tap into your health system at your school so that you can get free birth control or free depo shots or whatever it is that you need. So my conversation centered around sex for college kids is a lot broader.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Clay?
I think with the so much going on there with date rape mm-hmm. in the college setting, I think that's an important conversation parents need to have with young ladies and young men,
mm-hmm.
especially from parents of young men, because yes. you know they can go to a party and start drinking and think they have a right to take something from a young lady, and they end up in prison for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the most critical conversations parents need to have with their children is in reference to date rape,
mm-hmm.
dating in college. A young lady has the right to say no,
mm-hmm.
and when she say no, that means no. And if you're violated, you need to report it. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to someone about it. So I think that's a very important conversation needs to be stated. Consider everything that's been going on recently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Real quick, Dr. Clay, I have a couple of minutes left. Final thoughts, advice for parents.
Be truthful and transparent when it comes to sex and the conversations you have with your children and young adults.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dyson, your final thoughts.
And if you need assistance from somebody, find somebody around you as the adult who can kind of assist you, because you may have a family member or older sister yourself or older brother who can kind of help you navigate this sexual conversation with your children.
Mm-hmm. So important. As I said before, this is the first in a three-part series on parenting. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about teens, trauma, and treatment. So you certainly don't want to miss that conversation. I want to thank both of my guests, Dr. Jerry Dyson and Dr. William Flip Clay, for sharing with us. I really appreciate your expertise. So thank you again.
Thank you, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.